Hello, it's Spooky Boo, your host of the Scary Storytime Podcast. Tonight I bring you four scary ghost stories from listeners of the program. Remember, you can send in your own story to be read. Just visit the website at www.scarystorytime.com and click on the Submit button. You may also call them in during the second half of the show from 8:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Thursday. Remember that you can get past stories of the podcast, no longer freely available, and stories never told on my program by joining my member site at www.patreon.com/spookyboo scary storytime. Now let's begin. Story 1, Bloody Ghost. Dear Spooky Boo, I listen to your show through the podcast on my app on my iPhone. I love it. I wanted to share with you the experience I had when I was younger. When I was 10, my parents lived in a house in Castro Valley, California. The house was older, maybe 50s or 60s, and had a high turnover rate of renters. We figured people moved all the time because of the bouncing economy in the Bay Area, and this was a prime location to commute for my parents into San Francisco. I was a latchkey kid. At least, that is what my parents called it. I was a really responsible child and didn't cause any problems for them, and because of this, they let me stay home without a babysitter. For the first few months, it was really easy. Come home from school, do my homework, play with the dog outside, watch TV, help get dinner ready, etc. It was really easy. I was new and didn't have many friends, which also kept me from getting into trouble. After the fourth month, I began to notice this weird smell in one of the bedrooms. Sometimes it was a sweet, rotting smell. At first, it would smell a bit like cinnamon, but as the smell grew, it became unbearable and a bit putrid. I checked all around the room and didn't find anything in the vents. I told my parents about it, and Dad went under the house in the crawl space and only found spiders. The smell seemed to disappear for a while when my mom came home for vacation for 2 weeks. But then, the day she went back, it was so strong that I even threw up. I always kept that room closed during the day to keep the smell away. It seemed to get stronger on hotter days, so my dad also checked the attic and found nothing unusual. They could never smell it because it didn't happen when they were around, so they thought it was just a cry out for attention because I had no friends yet. A few months later is when the tapping began. It was around November when things start to get really cold in the valley. I mean, cold for us is an average of 49 at night, but around Thanksgiving, sometimes it dips into the low 30s. It was around Thanksgiving time when I smelled burning. The smell was strongest from that bedroom where the sweet smell came from. I went in there and it was fine, as usual. I checked outside and nothing. Dad called the electrician to check on the wires and nothing. Of course, no one could smell this, just me. They even took me to the doctor to have my nose and all that area checked. Still, nothing. Notice these things usually happened during the day while my parents were at work, and I was home after school, but then one night I woke up during my sleep, which is unusual, and the smell was intense. I went into the room and my mom's rocking chair was rocking back and forth. I walked closer to the chair and it stopped. Then a cold breeze swiftly flew by. With my heart racing and a lump stuck in my throat so big that I couldn't even speak, I ran out of that room so fast that I tripped over my cat and made a loud crash on the way down. The only place the cat was allowed was the kitchen and dining room because of the carpets in the bedrooms. But right then she ran into that room. Mom and Dad came running out to see if I was okay, and we all noticed the cat scratching in the corner of the room. They could even faintly smell something sweet at that point. Dad called in sick the next morning and ripped up the carpet to see if anything was under it, but didn't find anything. The smell disappeared again and everything went back to normal. We all pretty much forgot about it. Well, I didn't. I never went in that room again until the tapping noise started again that summer. I went in and, of course, nothing was there and the tapping stopped, but when I went back out into the hallway, the tapping started and was really loud. I burst through the door again, and it had stopped. But the chair was rocking, and the smell was back. This time it started to smell like rotting meat, and I ran to the bathroom to throw up. When I got back to the room, the smell was gone, and the chair stopped rocking. I was getting pissed. I didn't care anymore that I was scared. I just wanted to know what was going on, so I grabbed my sleeping bag and pillow to stay in the room all day and all night. It was always cold in there, so I also layered in some sweats, even though it was in the middle of June. I kept myself busy on my cell phone for a few hours as it grew dark. Mom brought my dinner into the room and called me silly because she didn't believe in ghosts, but I knew something had to be wrong with this room, or I was really going crazy. Of course, there was the cat who proved there was something going on. She refused to go into the room after that night I tripped over her. I slept on the floor near the wall across from the corner. It was around 1 a.m. when I awoke from a really bad nightmare. I was dreaming that a man had fallen from the roof of the house and somehow came through the window and just hung there, bleeding. Blood started to fill the room and I began to choke while drowning and treading frantically in it. I awoke with a start and checked my body all over. I was damp from sweating in the dream. I guess there was no blood. In the window, though, I could see a figure hanging upside down through the glass. The glass wasn't broken. The figure just hung through it as if it was. He was whispering while his body was rocking against the wall and making the tapping noise I had heard. His hand was also on the rocker, forcing it to rock back and forth. I held my breath, afraid this ghost or whatever it was might notice me, and crawled over to it, horrified. There was blood dripping everywhere on the walls and onto the carpets. I tried to snap a picture with my cell phone camera, but every time I clicked on the camera icon to take a pic, the screen on the phone would shut down and I would have to restart the app. I tried to speak to him, but when I said hello, he looked at me, then disappeared. I grabbed my sleeping bag and pillow, then went back to my room, vowing never to go into that room again. I knew that convincing anyone would be impossible because I couldn't take a picture or anything. The next morning, my mom asked if I had a bloody nose that night, and I told her no, then asked why. She told me because there was a bloody fingerprint on her rocking chair. I told her about what I saw, and of course she didn't believe me, but we checked on the house's history anyway. There was a man who lived there and disappeared years before. No one ever found him, and that was the shadiest thing that had ever happened in that old house. We moved shortly after because my dad got a job in Santa Barbara. Story number 2, Ghosts in the Graveyard. Spooky, or whoever gets his messages. I'm a 24-year-old male from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We have a lot of really crazy stories out here that involve ghosts and the old Indian tales. What happened to me happened in a local graveyard. As kids, we always played Ghosts in the Graveyard. It's a game of tag where a group of kids cover their eyes and the ghost hides, then the kids try to find the ghost. If someone sees the ghost, he yells, "Ghost in the Graveyard," and then everyone runs back to a base before getting tagged by the ghost. If someone is tagged, that person becomes a ghost. Unlike other people who just play this at home or in their backyard, we would go to the old abandoned buildings or the actual graveyard after dark. It was stupid because any of us could have been hurt really bad. But we were kids and parents were clueless. Late one night, we decided to hit the graveyard. It was really late when we arrived because Sammy had to wait until his parents fell asleep, and they didn't hit the sack until well after midnight that night. We all snuck out with our flashlights and some snacks to chew on while we told scary stories before the game. We would always tell scary stories because it really did make playing the game spookier and fun. I don't know if it was the stories or if there was really a ghost, but I was the first it or ghost in the game. I was hiding behind the gate in this huge mausoleum when I felt something brush against my shoulder. I thought it might be one of my friends, so I chuckled and told him to knock it off, but no one was there. That was when Joey saw me and yelled, "Ghost in the graveyard!" Well, of course I had to go chase after him and the others, but since I was so freaked out by whatever touched me, I didn't run at first. By the time I caught up to them, it was too late and I had to hide again. This time I picked a headstone of a cross so I could stand and hide right behind the cross. While standing there, I watched Grant walk by the mausoleum and noticed a shadow follow him until he passed by completely. I stood there a little dumbfounded, waiting for the shadow to appear again, and then Seth ran by really fast, yelling, "Ghosts in the graveyard!" When I tore out after him, I easily caught up to Seth and tagged him. Then it was his turn. Instead of looking for him, I started right for the mausoleum to see if I could find out what the shadow was. When I got there, I saw Seth. His face was extremely white, and he was shaking. I yelled, "Ghosts in the graveyard," but he didn't budge. He just sat there in the corner, wide-eyed and shaking all over. I told the others to come and help when I felt that cold brush up against me again. This time it felt like it went right through the left side of my body and sent shivers up and down my spine. Our friends ran up and we helped Seth over to the area where we had our camp out and blankets. He was shivering all over. We didn't want to go to the hospital because we weren't supposed to be there, and we would get in all kinds of trouble from our parents and the police, so we called a friend who was in high school. He came by with some warm whiskey and coffee to wake up Seth. It seemed to work, and when Seth finally started talking, he told us he felt a cold breeze, and when he looked, it was a human shadow with red eyes that told him to leave. At first, no one believed him, but I did. I said I felt the same thing twice, but never saw anything. Just around that time, a piece of headstone fell off a grave nearby. We also heard something fall in the mausoleum. We ran to check out to see what it was, and instantly something cold brushed right through the middle of us as we walked through the mausoleum gate. When we went inside, an urn that was sitting on a marble shelf fell and scattered all over the ground. We freaked out, and my friend drove us all home. We never went to the graveyard again. Story 3, Haunted Basement. I listened to your show last night on the podcast about ghosts, and it reminded me of my old grandmother's house. No, I didn't find any eyeballs in a box, but my grandmother was murdered in her own basement. Some douchebag broke into her house, and she ran downstairs to hide, but he found her and strangled her. I never got to know her. This happened before I was born. My parents tried to hide it from me, but after I started hearing noises in the basement, I did a little bit of research. I wanted to make the basement a place like the kids had on that 70s show. So I started moving things around and making a cool hangout place. My parents had inherited the house. My mom said she didn't want it, but they really had no choice because they didn't have enough money to get a different one until they could sell it, but we just ended up staying once Mom realized that she could handle what had happened to Grandma. When I started moving things around downstairs, I would find that sometimes they were moved back the next time I went down. I thought my mom or dad might have been doing it until one day no one else was home but me, and everything was moved back into place while I was eating lunch. This freaked me out a bit, so my friends came over to help me. We moved everything around and brought down the rug and the couches and the TV and stereo. It was virtually impossible to move everything back because we stuffed the old furniture way in the back of the basement. After we sat around and recorded ourselves making stupid videos and acting like dorks, there was a thunderstorm outside and the lights went out. We had a bit of a dim light through the small basement windows, which helped us find an old lantern in the basement. Since we were smoking, we lit up the wick and started telling ghost stories. About a half hour into the ghost stories and goofing off, the flame on the wick started to flicker really bad, but there was still oil in the base. There was no breeze and no windows open at all, so we were dumbfounded as to what was going on. The wick blew out, and suddenly the power went on. My friends were kind of freaked out, so they all went home and left me to do my homework in my room. I didn't go down to the basement all night or the next day until my friends came over again to watch a good horror movie. When Winston went down the stairs, first he yelled up and asked why I had put all the stuff back. I ran down the stairs to check. All of our stuff was stacked neatly against the wall, and all of Grandmother's old furniture was put back in place, except there was a huge red stain on the throw rug we were standing on. We didn't notice it until Winston noticed that his foot squished into something when he stepped down. It looked like blood, and there was a lot of it. We all got the hell out of there and moved all of our stuff into my room. We never went back down there again. Story number 4, Creepy Small Handprints. I listen to your show daily on iTunes. I really like that you've added callers and true stories. I wanted to call in, but I'm usually asleep around the time your show starts, so I'm just going to tell you my story here. I work in a really old building that has this little tower in the corner, and next to the tower are stairs that lead down into a basement. It's a business in a very quiet, small neighborhood. It wasn't until recently I knew the history of the building, and only because I asked after seeing something really odd. One night I was working late and was on my way down to the basement to get some equipment when I noticed little handprints on the chalkboard. Let me explain. Above the stairs, there is a chalkboard above your head. I don't know why. Maybe people wrote on it at one time. It's a really old one. That night I saw children's handprints on it. I went down and checked the room, and there was no one there. I then heard knocking on the door that we use for storage. The door is the small cupboard in the tower that was on the corner of the building. Thinking it might be a raccoon or bats, I put on my hoodie and grabbed a bat just in case anything came at me. But when I opened it, nothing was there. I closed it again and the tapping started over again. I propped the door open so it couldn't close and then went inside. It was cramped at first, but a little deeper in I could stand. I could also see the streetlight coming through the top as there is a small window higher up near the lights on the second floor. Suddenly, without notice, the door shut and it got really cold and dark. I could still see the streetlight, but I couldn't budge the door open. I tried and tried and nothing. Then I smelled fire and saw smoke coming in through the crack of the door. I was panicking. The tower area was made out of wood and brick. I would certainly be smoked in there. It was getting really thick and hard to breathe. I heard kids screaming and crying from somewhere outside the tower. I tried kicking the door open through the smoke. My eyes burned. I was coughing. I thought I was going to die in there. Then suddenly it stopped. The door opened and I was free. The smoke dissipated. When I crawled out of the hole, I noticed there were fresh handprints on the chalkboard that looked like the little hands had been playing in soot. In the darkness of the tower, I heard giggling, then nothing. This freaked me out. When I asked about it, they told me there was a basement fire and a bunch of people, including children, had died, which is why business must get safety zone permits to conduct business in their basements here. Story 5. My mom bought a haunted doll for my kid. When my son was about 4 years old, he loved playing with clowns. He had every stuffed clown that you can imagine and just got a kick out of their funny faces. Then my mom, who hated clowns, brought over this one freaky-looking doll that could have been a clown or it could have been a boy. It looked a lot like a Chucky doll. My son didn't like it very much. When we would get the clowns out for him to play with, he would toss this doll aside and say, "I don't like it." When I asked him why, he told me that it talks bad to him. I wasn't sure what that meant because the doll obviously couldn't speak. It was just a stuffed doll with no recording or speaking apparatus. One night when he was playing with the toy, he tossed it across the room and yelled, "I hate you!" This type of language is not allowed in my house, so when I went over to scold him, I noticed he had a deep bite mark on his thumb. I asked him why he bit himself, and he said, "Not me, him!" and pointed to the doll. When I put him to bed, I decided against putting the doll in his room. Instead, I put it on the recliner in the living room. The next morning, before Stevie woke up, I checked on him and noticed the creepy doll was next to him in bed. I picked it up and brought it back down the stairs and put it on the chair again. As I started to walk away, I heard something whisper, "Not nice." I whipped around real fast and noticed that the doll had fallen over. A little freaked out by this, I picked it up and wrapped it in plastic bags and put it in the garbage can sealed with a lid. I went back in and Stevie and I had a great day playing with the clowns and the other toys he had. It was getting late, so I laid down with him to put him down for his nap, but fell asleep as I often do when we play a lot in the morning. When I awoke, to my horror, there was that damn doll again, sitting across the room. I swear it was glaring at me with a disgusting smile. When I went over and picked it up, the thing looked normal. I disposed of it yet again, this time with tape around its arms and legs and mouth. The garbage man had already come by that morning, so the can was empty. I dropped the gag doll into it and looked to make sure it was in there. It was there, face down in the grimy leftovers from before. I then shut the lid. When I started to walk away, I heard a lot of banging. As I went back to look, the banging had stopped, and when I peeked into the garbage can, the damn thing had flipped over. I quickly went inside, grabbed a bunch of old clothes that I didn't want as well as some junk from the closet, into a couple of garbage bags, and then put them on top of the doll. Every night before we went to bed, I could hear it screaming at the bottom of the garbage can and moving around. My husband couldn't hear anything. The garbage man finally came and picked up the garbage, and now there is peace. Story 6. The Lost Girl and the Ghost. I heard a story once about a little girl around 5 or 6 years old who got lost in the Forest Hills in Washington State. The sheriff and community started looking for her when they noticed she was missing during a camping trip. They searched all day and all evening until it started to get dark. Some people camped out to wait for her with heavy lights around the campground, just in case she showed up. In the morning, again, everyone started looking for her. They searched all day and all night, still not a sound. The nights were cold. The temperature would drop to under 40 degrees, and they were almost ready to give up hope, knowing that a little girl that young could not possibly survive in the elements during this time of year, when she walked up to the camp all dirty with leaves attached to her clothing. Her mom and dad were so excited to see her and hugged her. The doctor came over and checked for any signs of hypothermia, to which there were none. This confused the doctor, because unless she had found shelter, there was no way she could have survived almost 2 nights outside in the fall weather. He asked her how she kept warm, to which she replied, "The little girl in the cave taught me how to cover my body with leaves to keep me warm until someone found me, but then tonight I saw the lights," when she pointed here. Everyone was confused. They didn't know about another girl deep in the forest, let alone a cave. But then, when searching the local history, another girl about her age had disappeared and died of starvation in the same cave. The Boy Who Almost Drowned. When my son was 5 years old, he went on a walk near a local lake with his dad, uncle, and cousins. I was 9 months pregnant and wanted a nap, so I stayed home and had a break while they went to have fun. While the group was walking by the lake and his dad had stayed behind somewhere to smoke, a fisherman suddenly started yelling and waving its arms, then pointing to the water. My boy's uncle noticed the puffy curly hair of my son just under the algae in the water. He jumped in and grabbed him, then rushed home. We put him in warm water because his lips were blue and he was shivering. While I put him in the bath and he regained his color, he looked at me and said he was happy to see me. I asked him what had happened and he said he thought he could walk on the green stuff in the water, which was algae. Then he said when he fell in, the angel told him to hold his breath because help would come very soon. Then his uncle pulled him out of the water immediately after. There is a report of a woman drowning in that area, and people have seen her at night. Perhaps she was the angel.
It's Spooky Boo. So those were the stories that were sent in to me. I've collected them over time and decided to read them all in one night tonight. So how's everybody out on YouTube doing tonight? I hope doing well. Oh, goodness. Which one was your favorite story? I think the creepiest story was the one with the office and the kids' hands on the chalkboard. That was creepy. And I don't know what's wrong with the record tonight, why it speeds up. It's kind of funny. I'm going to try and replace that podcast for tomorrow to see what happens. So I'm glad everybody's here tonight. Call in your stories at 646-787-1694. If you're new to the program, what we do here is for the first half of the show, I tell stories that have either been sent in to me or that are creepypasta stories or stories I've written. And then during the second half hour, I let you call in your stories. So you can call them in, and if you've ever had any ghostly experiences or anything paranormal, aliens, ghosts, you know, creepy stuff, something that is scary, bad, anything that'll creep others out, you can call that in at 646-787-1694. So thank you, Carissa Kent. I love writing stories. I don't have much time to write my own stories lately. But, you know, you saw my picture move and you thought I was on camera, Immortal Super Being? That's kind of creepy. Hi, Celestial Nar. Welcome back. So tonight we have Duchess Dark and Celestial Nor and Ozzy the Myth, who took a break for a second, and Aaron Mefford, the Immortal Super Being, and Chadwick Dupre. Oh, my chat doesn't go up all the way. It stopped. Sightless Sonderer. And Black Eyed Shorty was here too for a while. Thanks for coming by and listening to the show. So, remember, you can call in your stories at 646-787-1694. And a lot of people on the podcast will hear it. I have a lot of podcast listeners, and it will be live on YouTube as well. Carissa, you said that something your mom had a spooky experience when you were a baby. Oh, you could call that in and tell everybody. You can also email it to me. If you're speaker shy, your microphone shy, you can email it to me at spookyboo scary story time. I'm sorry, I am tonight. The email address is scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. You can email it to me there, and then I will read it from there. Or you can call it in at 646-787-1694. Let's see. The Immortal Super Being says, my favorite was the graveyard one. Oh, I know. That was creepy. That really was. Oh, I guess Chadwick's last name isn't Dupre. How do you say that, Chadwick? So, Ghost in the Graveyard. That's a game my son used to play all the time with his friends, too. I wonder if he knew those people. because they would go to graveyards and play it. Oh, that's right. Stories in Wisconsin. We don't live there. But he shares the show on his punk rock band channel for me. And I play his music sometimes. And I get flagged by YouTube for playing his music. Isn't that amazing? Maybe he'll get paid for me playing his music. Wouldn't that be snazzy? I would love that. Here, here's some money, honey. I played your song tonight. I don't get paid, but you can. Try cleaning your CPU. GPU fans applying new paste. Also download. Oh, yeah, I do need to clean out my fan because it's trying really hard to spin. I'm not sure. Somebody gave me this machine. I should have done that the moment I got it. But I did that like a dummy. So now I'm going to have to like shut it down and do all that. I have a million cats because I'm like the cat lady. Do pray. That, isn't that what I said? Reminded me of the graveyard in my hometown. It's really creepy. Ooh, do a walkthrough of it one night on your channel. I want to do that here. We have a really old, creepy graveyard. And I want to walk through it and tell scary stories while I'm walking through it. There's also a haunted dollhouse here. Somebody every year puts up a dollhouse with really creepy dolls. So I'm going to do a walkthrough of that closer to Halloween. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's see. You can call in your scary stories. There's 27 minutes left to stream. 646-787-1694. If anybody has sent one on Gmail. No. Oh, well. My wife and I are going to haunted walkthrough tomorrow night, and you're going to film it and put it up on your channel. Oh, Chadwick, I can't wait. That'll be fun. I'll watch that. I live next to a graveyard. Do you ever see anything creepy out in the graveyard you live next to, Carissa? I don't know if I'd want to live next to a graveyard. You have to watch all the people burying all their family. That would be sad. Really sad. Celestial. I had to clean my fan. Had so much fur in it. I could have made another kitten. Speaking of kittens, I have 4 to give away. If anybody lives nearby, like one. I have 4 beautiful, fluffy little kittens. One is smoky gray, and there are 3 tuxedos, and the calico is taken. Somebody has already snatched up the calico. She'll be gone this weekend or on Monday if I go to Eureka. My son has a varsity football game in Eureka, and he just got moved to, well, he's a fullback. And outside linebacker, and so he also was moved to running quarterback. So he's going to Eureka, and I'm probably not going to be able to go to see his first game as a quarterback. That happened the first time he played quarterback, too, on JV. Oh, well. What can you do? So yes, please do. If you have, if you subscribe to YouTube channels, please check out the channels on here. I think most people on here do have a YouTube channel. Check them out. If you like what you see, go ahead and subscribe. And let's see if there's any stories I can read live. If you want to call, it's 646-787-1694. I used to start the show an hour earlier when it first started, and so a lot of people don't know it's pushed back an hour. which is a drag, but whatever. I'm just going to pick out a creepypasta ghost story here. If you send your story in, it may not get read immediately because I try to group them and save them in for one night with similar stories. And let's see, because I'm fresh out of scary stories in my life. I think I told you guys all the scary stories that I had. Oh, boiler room. That one looks fun. You'll see the chat while I'm doing this. That's why I like to put them a lot, on a pre-recorded, because I can't see the chat. Only have one monitor. And plus, I don't like it when I screw up while I'm reading. That's why also I don't like reading it live. And I could just fake it and play and then talk and then play another story and talk, but you could tell because the recording sounds a little bit different than my live stuff. What are you going to do? Some people don't like that, whatever. But I like doing it that way. Keeps it for the people who are listening to the first half of the podcast, because sometimes they don't always know what's going on when I start chatting with YouTubers. They're like, one lady said I sounded drunk because I just go off and talk to text people to say different stuff. It's like, okay, I'm talking to chatters, honey. Hey, Nightmare Files, how you doing? And Eli Thompson, welcome to the show. I think I know creepypasta you could read. Oh. Okay. Let me know what it is. This one is very short. Micropasta. If you go to Montpelier, North Dakota, you will find a small school. If you go into the school and then proceed to the basement, you'll find yourself at the door of a boiler room. Go into the boiler room and you'll see blood splattered on the walls. For inspection, the blood forms a pattern of words. Before you can read the blood, the lights turn off. You try to leave, but the door has slammed shut and is locked. It is said that 50 years ago, some punk kids locked the janitor in the boiler room while it was malfunctioning, exploded, and killed the janitor and the children. The spirit of the janitor now haunts the school and lures children into the boiler room where he murders them in an act of revenge. Are we sure we're not reading about Freddy Krueger? Yeah. Okay, just tell me what the title is of the story you want me to read, and I will read it. I'm only on for another 20 minutes, so 22 minutes. Can you read some Holder creepypasta stories? I don't know what Holder creepypasta stories are. What are Holder creepypasta stories? Is that an author? Holder of the self, holder of nothing, holder of the end, holder of ambition, those. I have a link. Are you able to post a link in here? I don't know if that's set up or not. Or you could send it to scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. I've got a jewelry box. Music when opened, I got it from someone who recently died. It could be haunted. It very well could be. That would be scary. All right, let's see. I don't know, this Holder one that long, but it's not the first one. Let's go back. Let's go to the very first one and see. I like when they list, if you're listening and you make a creepypasta series, try to list them all. They're easy to get to. Oh, maybe that's what the link holder says, in holders. Oh my gosh, there's a million of them. They're in alphabetical. Do you have a preference of which one to start with? Holder of Forbidden Tongues. That sounds fun. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institute, halfway house, if you can get yourself into. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit someone who calls himself the holder of forbidden tongues. The worker should bow for it before you and then give you an urn. Now walk into an empty place inside the institute, preferably an unused supply closet. Nobody is watching you. Open the urn and look into it. Raise your head again. You should find yourself on a wooden stairway that leads downwards into a corridor. Go down the stairs as there is no turning back now. After a while, you will hear something that sounds like a chorus sung by monks speaking a foreign language. Immediately, you cover your ears with your hands. If you hear too many words, a hideous creature will haunt you for the rest of your immortal existence. As soon as you reach a door, the chorus should stop. If it doesn't, quickly turn around and shout, Tessite. Oh, my dog's freaking out. This is a Latin word for silence. Now the chorus should stop at last. If it doesn't, pray to every god you have ever heard for a quick death and hope they listen. For if they don't, the singing will go louder and louder until it drives your soul insane. Step through the door. Inside, a person is waiting for you, a masked monk in a red cloak. He will greet you in Latin with salve. Do not say anything and wait a few seconds until he puts on the light. There will be inscriptions on the walls, on the floor, and on the furniture. The monk will stand at the wall at the other end of the room and wait for your question. Don't try to read the words on the walls. If you do, you will, within seconds, go insane. Walk to him and ask him only one question. In which language were they talking? That and nothing else. He will then hand you a book and disappear. Do not look. If you do, you will release horrible demons that will torture you for an eternity. After you get the book, turn around and there should be two urns on the table. One will take you back to the place you call home. The other will drag your soul into pitch darkness. It is up to you to pick up the right one or not. The book is Object 549 or Object 11 out of the Lost 2000. Do not dare to ever read it. Okay, sorry about the dogs in the background. They're barking all the time. Actually, tonight they might be barking because my son, on his way home from work, he walks to work and walks home from work because he only works a couple blocks away. He accidentally dialed 911 on his cell phone. And then when they tried to call him back, he accidentally hung up on them. But they never showed up. Aren't they supposed to just show up when there's a 911 call? And especially if you hang up on them. I mean, they never showed up. Okay, so scarystory.com, yes, that is my email, if you see that, and I do not have an email from you yet, but my email is weird. It doesn't always show up right away, or it could be in spam. Let me check that. Everything ends up in spam. I don't know why. There's some sort of script in there that I don't know about. Oh, yeah, another reason why I pre-read the stories is because I have asthma and I kind of get out of breath, so I don't like that to happen while I'm reading like 5 or 6 stories. So, what can you do? It's not in the email, it won't send. Oh, a Twitter message. Oh, okay. and look that up. By the way, if you do have a scary story you want to tell, 787-1694, and everybody will hear you. All right. The things in my room. And I don't see an author on here. Dear girl, this is kind of awkward considering this is my first entry. You see, I'm not really used to writing in a journal. After all, this is the first time I really feel the need to do so. Believe me, though, I would not bother if there was anyone I could actually talk to. Well, not that I can't talk to my parents or even my little sister. She's just a baby, though. But I simply feel nobody can truly understand what I'm going through. I swear, I've tried talking about it with my mom, but she just brushed it off, saying my imagination was playing tricks on me. Okay, I guess I should explain the situation. Otherwise, you won't understand what I'm talking about. It all began a few weeks ago, or at least I started being aware of it. It was a little while after we moved to a new house, those strange events started to occur. It started with nothing big, just some shifty sounds under my bed, like something scratching or dragging itself on the floor. When I checked under my bed, there was nothing out of the ordinary. I didn't make a huge deal of it at first, but then it would happen more often, until at some point I could hear them every night. But you know, just noises, and as I said, my mom kept telling me it was my imagination. I knew it wasn't, but convincing myself she was right helped me. But convincing myself she was right helped ignoring the sound. At some point, though, she did call a pest control center to check the house, but they found nothing. By this time, I was so used to the noises that they wouldn't scare me that much anymore. That is, until I started hearing faint, muffled voices underneath my bed and from the corners of my room. At this point, I really began to freak out and had a lot of trouble falling asleep at night. When it happened, I would bring the covers over my head and pluck my fingers in my ears so the voices would stop, but they wouldn't. In fact, they would grow closer and louder. Not quite loud enough so I could figure out what they were saying, but enough so I could tell they were right next to me. Sometimes I was getting so scared that I would jump out of bed, only to realize the voices had stopped as soon as I opened my eyes, as if they weren't even there to begin with. My mom, though, that giving me some sleeping pills might... My mom said that giving me some sleeping pills might help, but it didn't. At least, not much. The nights the voices showed up, I was too scared to sleep. And the nights they wouldn't, the nervous expectation would keep me awake. After a while, my problem was still just getting worse. I was having night terrors almost every evening, but I also began to feel their presence during daytime. Whenever I'd be in my room, I felt observed, as if someone was peeking over my shoulder or watching me from behind. I'd turn around only to realize I was alone. Sometimes I'd briefly see something out of the corner of my eye, just a swift movement, almost unnoticeable. Yet again, there seemed to be nothing in the room with me, nothing that I could see at least. At times, I would leave my room, and upon coming back, I'd feel like something was wrong, and it would give me the chills, like if something was out of place. This happened a few times before. I finally noticed what was wrong. Things in my room were not quite the same place as I left. I thought maybe it was my mom tidying up, or my little sister messing with my stuff. But it was happening more and more often. I asked my mom a few times if she had been in my room, and each time, she'd say, "No, hun, why? Going crazy?" At some point, I could clearly see that some things were not at the spot I remembered putting them in, and no evidence to point toward my mom, So I went to my parents' room and borrowed my dad's camera. Before going to school, I set up in a corner of my room and started recording. This way, I would know for sure who or what was messing with my stuff and with my mind, too. Little did I know, when I came back from school, I rushed toward my room and checked on the camera. It was shut. I turned it on and checked the recording footage. There was nothing. Now, I know what you might think. I probably set it up wrong, and it wasn't even recording in the first place. But I know I didn't, because I tried doing the same the day after, making sure it was recording, and once again, the footage was deleted. Well, I guess that sums it up. All those strange things keep happening since then, and I never found the cause of it. And sometimes it also gets worse. Some of my stuff disappears, only to reappear sometime later, and sometimes at weird places. In a flower pot, in the car, in my school bag. Even weirder, objects that do not belong to me ended up in my room. Frankly, I have no idea what to do anymore, except bearing with it. But in the back of my head, I keep thinking whoever or whatever is the cause of this mess, it could be after me, making me crazier and crazier day after day. What if it becomes aggressive? I'm scared. And that's why I decided to write down my feelings. I don't know if it will ever go away, or if it will ever feel better, or if I'll ever feel better. But at least I know that during those frightening nights, I can count on my best friend, my toy cowboy Woody. That was cute. I love that. Oh, Woody. I love that. Toy Story. That's great. Okay. What's going on in the chat? We have a new person, Dingleberry. Oh, that's a great name. That's a great name. Okay. So the cops probably got lost in their own police station. You know, here the police station is really super nice, and they probably did because it's huge and gorgeous, and they have a museum and everything because they're next to the library, and the library is this huge library. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of taxpayer dollars. But I think the library pays for itself because they have a cafe that everybody goes to. So I think that pays a lot of library bills. But the police station is just ridiculously nice. You'd think we lived in Beverly Hills or something. Oh, goodness. That was well done. And well done, Spooky, your finest work yet. Oh, thank you. Was that the Woody story? Or that was great. Celestial and Spooky Boo should work together. Yes, we should. We should do a video together. You wouldn't like the videos I watch. They're boring to most people. Oh, man. I watch a lot of how-to videos and a lot of those, all of them, green screen and how to do all that stuff because I want to learn it. I don't even have a webcam. My son uses it as his microphone, but hate the darkness. I don't have a nice camera. Like the footage that I make, I do pictures of the palm trees and a lot of pictures I put in my videos. Like this one, I'll probably take down the live show and then repackage it with video backgrounds and stuff that I put in that I created because I love doing that. But when I started doing live shows, I don't do that as much. But I want to get like mannequins and paint them bloody and do all kinds of fun, creepy stuff. I just don't have the money to do it. That's why I have a Patreon, so I can do some of that stuff. So, easily my favorite creepypasta ever. It was so cute. I loved it. That was a fun one. They're usually not fun. Oh, let's see. Yeah. when you started your scary story, when you started your channel, there were no scary story channels. I have a channel like that. I started a channel a long time ago. But it's on a completely different account. Tried everything on it. Tried makeup on it, and that was boring. Tried how-to videos on blogging, and that was boring. I never show my face because I'm camera shy, so people hate that on those kind of videos, so I just didn't do it. It grew slowly. I think I ended up with 200 subscribers, and it's still out there. It's just, I don't do anything on it. I tried a vlog and couldn't keep up with it, you know. Oh, goodness. How much time is left, and is anybody waiting with a phone call? You know, you can call in your own story. There's only 3 minutes left of the show, but if you, it's really quick, you can call it at 646-787-1694. What's everybody dressing up as Halloween for? I don't know if I have enough time to read another story right now. But I'll tell you what, if you guys want me to read a specific story, email them to me on scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. And I will read those. Or you can, I think you can still send private messages on YouTube. Or maybe in the discussion area. Or link them in the video and I'll read those. I will. I used to do pre-recorded podcasting and upload stupid things. A little later I got serious. Yes, Carissa, what is your favorite story that I told? Which one did you like the best? If you wanted to hear the ones that I wrote specifically down the front of my YouTube channel, I do a lot of writing, and sometimes I write ones that I put in there, but I don't have really a lot of time anymore. So how are you private messaging on YouTube? There used to be a way to do it, but they might have removed it. It used to say send a message or something, and it was a private way, but I think they might have removed it. So either send it to my email or send it to in the comments. Put it in the comments, and I'll check it out. Let's see. You're going to be Beetlejuice. Joaquin Phoenix. The Joker, played by Joaquin Phoenix. Mr. Nightmare. Awesome. Read the clown statue story. It's a short story. I don't know if I have time to do that. I have 1 minute. I have to go find it. But I'll read it tomorrow night. Oh, no. I only stream Sunday through Thursday. Yeah, so you have 90 seconds left. I like that podcast thing. It tells me how many seconds I have left. But, you know, I mean, if you want to call into the show on Sunday night, you can call in, because I love getting calls and having people call in their favorite stories too, especially true stories that you love. And as the channel grows, I'll make it 2 hours. It used to be 6 hours, but I just end up babbling for the last hour and not really saying anything. So I shortened it to 1 hour until I get more stories sent to me from people. Ones that you've sent to like other people already, but original stories that are new. I mean, if you've written one, reword it and then send it, so they're not duplicates. Anyway, it's going to log me off. Would you please work with Scarecrow, Skin, Locust, Nightmare Files, and Celestial? Yes, you know, the last two guys you mentioned, I know. So I'll talk to them, but the other two, I don't know if they'd, I'll ask them. I don't know if they'll do it, though. But please send me your stories. Rude lady. Please send me your stories that you want me to read on scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. Or on Twitter, if you know me on Twitter. Just send a message to me on Twitter. And thank you so much for being here. It's so short when I do it in an hour. So... Thanks for being here. Good night, everybody. Yeah, it counts down from five, too. And it says I'm off the air, but I'm not yet. It gives me another minute or two to close up because it's not really closed. Lag. It's a lag thing. Anyway, thanks for being here. Bye.